Today's Torah reading is Sav, and it's from depending if you're using the Messianic Jewish Bible or the Jewish Bible. It starts in Leviticus 6:1 through 8:36. If you're using a non-Jewish Bible, it starts at chapter 6, verse 8. But before I do, I want to read something. I guess you can say that if there is a title to this, it would be Why Leviticus, but then the statement would be Why the Bible? Why Exodus? Why did God give us the law? Why did he give us the Bible? This is an excerpt from a book I had read last weekend, it seemed to fit, called The Old Testament Speaks, A Complete Survey of the Old Testament by Samuel Schultz. It's in fifth edition. He writes, the distinctive feature, and these are his words, the distinctive feature of the Decalogue is evident in the first two commandments. In Egypt, many gods were worshipped. The plagues had been directed against Egyptian gods. The inhabitants of Canaan also were polytheistic. Israel was to be distinct and unique as God's own people, characterized by singular devotion to God and God alone. Not even an image or likeness of God was permissible. Consequently, idolatry was one of the worst offenses in the religion of Israel. And he also says, expansion of the moral laws and additional regulations for holy living were designed to guide the Israelites in their conduct as God's holy people. Simple obedience to these moral, civil, and ceremonial laws would distinguish them from the surrounding nations. These laws for Israel can better be understood in the light of the contemporary cultures in Egypt and Canaan. Marriage of brother and sister, which was common in Egypt, was forbidden in Israel. Regulations regarding motherhood and childbirth not only reminded them that man is a sinful creature, but the regulations stood in contrast to sexual perversion, prostitution, and child sacrifice associated with the religious rites and ceremonies of the Canaanites. Pure food laws and restrictions concerning the slaughter of animals were designed to keep the Israelites from conforming to some of the Egyptian customs associated with idolatrous rituals. So he brings up an important point that one of the purposes, it's something I mentioned, of God's law, Leviticus, is God is setting up a society, but it's in contradistinction to the pagan societies around them. So they should have come, the pagans should have come to Israel and seen the blessings, but instead it was the other way around. The Israelites fled to the pagans. So I want to read some excerpts. We're going to talk about holiness. In verse chapter 6, I'm going to read some excerpts starting from chapter 6, verse 10 through chapter 7, verse 6. Now, holiness, kodesh, means apartness, sacredness, separateness of God, places, and things. So you can see the tie-in there with why God gave us his law was, as Paul said, to convict us of sins, but also to keep us separate from the world. And when Yeshua came and died, the believers of the first and second century made themselves completely different. The reason the Romans hated them was because they were so different, and it was by choice. They were willing to give up everything because what they came out of, they didn't want to go back to again. So other definitions of holiness is of God, it's absolute perfection, that God is unlike any other whatever. His very being is completely absent of even a trace of sin, and nothing can compare with him. And holiness to God, said, to be holy as he is holy. For us, to be holy means to be distinct from other nations, because Israel is God's chosen nation. As the body of Messiah is God's chosen people, they are set apart. So chapter 6, verse 10, we're talking about some of the offerings. I'm reading actually from the Complete Jewish Bible this time, starting in chapter 6. In the Jewish Bible, it's in verse 10. In a regular Bible, it's verse 17. It is not to be baked, the offering, it is not to be, the offering is not to be baked with leaven. I have given it as their portion, the priests as my offerings made by fire, like the sin offering and guilt offering, it is especially holy. So the offering was separate. It wasn't supposed to be just any old thing. The next verse, every male descendant of Aharon may eat from it. It is his share of the offerings for Adonai made by fire forever through all your generations. Whatever touches these offerings will become holy. So you had to be really careful what you were doing with those things. Chapter, verse 17, which would be verse 24 in a regular Bible, in a Christian Bible, excuse me. Adonai said to Moshe, tell Aharon and his sons, this is the law for the sin offering. The sin offering is to be slaughtered before Adonai in the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered. It is especially holy. And moving on, the Kohen who offers it for sin is to eat it. It is to be eaten in a holy place in the courtyard of the tent of meeting. Whatever touches its flesh will become holy. If any of its blood splashes on any item of clothing, you are to wash it in a holy place. Then moving down to verse 23 in the Hebrew Bible, verse 30 and the others. But no sin offering which has had any of its blood brought into the tent of meeting to make atonement in the holy place is to be eaten. It is to be burned up completely. For chapter 7, verse 1, this is the law for the guilt offering. It is especially holy. So you can see this repetition that the offerings by Adonai are to be treated separately. They are to be treated distinctly and not as just any old thing. And then verse 6 of chapter 7, every male from the family of Kohanim may eat it. It is to be eaten in a holy place. It is especially holy. Amen. So we can see the purpose of the ceremonies was to be different than the pagans, because like God, it was a holy offering. Amen.